good evening, everybody. Thank you all for joining us on the 23rd episode of Podcast Geek Culture.
24th.
23rd, dude. 23rd. Okay, wait a second. I'm going to check the site. If it's not 23rd, y'all are in the world.
Well, you said 24th yesterday, so...
Yes, episode 24, everybody. Thank you all for joining us tonight. With me are Mir Jam.
Hey, guys. Right now, it's 9:05 a.m. at Seattle. I don't know why Taimu told me to say this, but okay, I just went ahead and said it.
It's informative. Our people listen to us from around the globe. Arafat Ali Khan.
What's up, everyone? And if you want to know what the time is in San Diego, it's just past 9 o'clock in the morning.
Excellent. And Saad Ali Khan. I mean, Saad, supper.
Saad Ali Khan is my friend. But any case, hey, what's up, people? This is Saad Zafar. If you want to know what time is in Pakistan, it is... 9 o'clock.
Dude, we should have mixed it up a little bit because, like, New York, it's like midday. Hong Kong, it's like midnight.
No, Tokyo is like frack.
Who cares?
Tokyo is not Hong Kong, my friend.
Who cares?
It's 1 o'clock in the morning in Tokyo. Anyways, let's start with today's podcast. Gentlemen, we are assembled here today to discuss what we are watching. Okay. Why don't you?
Throwback to yesterday.
We had the podcast yesterday. It crashed and burned, so we're gonna do it again today. Except that we're gonna try and keep it a bit small because yesterday it was just a long, monotonous discussion about uninteresting things. Anyways, Mia, what you've been watching, man?
All right, speaking of uninteresting things, I watched Robin Hood, as I have already given my views on it. I'll just reiterate my points. It is a bore fest, number one. It is... Okay, I'll just say this. It's great action, great direction, but a very, very boring plot. And
it says something about the characters, like they were performing good, but it sucked anyways because the movie was bad, you couldn't hear.
Like, it's first of all, it runs excessively long, about... 2 hours and 24 minutes. And that by today's standards is long by like for any movie. May it be an epic or just like another rom-com film. The acting is good. Russell Crowe does his job well. Cate Blanchett, great in her role as Lady Marian. Mark Strong as the villain is really like he acts very well in the film. But what I hated about this film was that, first of all, it was really boring. And second, what made it boring was that you did not know the villain's motives. Why was he being such an asshole? Why was he being basically siding with the French rather than the British? And that's never explored in the film. And that's
spoilers.
Spoilers alert for Robin Hood. But, like, it's this...
spoiler, Robin Hood sucks.
I mean, he steals from the rich and gives it to the poor.
Yeah, but to be honest, that only happens once in the film. So
that's cliched, my friend.
Sorry?
What?
What? What?
I said that's cliched.
You want to talk, huh, Sad? Huh? You want to talk? Yeah, huh?
You gotta wait your turn.
Yeah, dude, alright?
So. Alright, I'm sorry.
It's his second time on the podcast and you guys are already, like... putting him down.
Dude, you know...
He's used to it, man. He's used to it.
Initiation, dude. You have to... If you're gonna roll with the... With the high rollers, man, you have to learn.
Anyway, so Robin Hood, definitely not recommended. Okay, and if you've gone for it, just like... I mean, whatever. It's... I was really disappointed in it, so... Yeah. Don't watch
excellent
it.
Excellent stuff. Do not watch it. This is D Culture's final...
verdict.
Judgment on Robin Hood, verdict, if you will. Do not watch Robin Hood. Arfi.
Me. I had the opportunity to watch two movies over the weekend. One, not so much in the genre of what we speak about, but I'll just talk about it briefly because it's UAE's or Dubai's first homegrown movie, which is City of Life. So I had the opportunity to watch that over this weekend, and I have to say I was extremely impressed. The everything from the direction, cinematography, to the actors themselves were of a very high caliber. I mean, this definitely wasn't something that was put together in someone's garage. And if you have the opportunity, I suggest you go and watch it because it gives you a snapshot of you know, life in Dubai from three different perspectives: that of the Emirati, Emirates Airlines stewardess, yes, and of an Indian taxi driver, and you know, they all have their trials and tribulations.
Jason Fleming is in this film, right?
Jason Fleming is in this movie, and when I saw him,
oh my god,
in the beginning, I was just like, ah, okay, he's not a, you know, a Dubai-born actor, but you know, it was, I guess they wanted to try and infuse some international talent in there. And from the Indian perspective, Javed Jaffrey is there in a small role as well, which is quite nice. But you know, what really got me in this movie is that I actually cared. I cared about the characters. I cared what was happening to them, and you know, all these sort of trials that were happening and everything. And it was just done really well. I mean, you know, there are no spoilers, but there are a couple of action sequences in there as well that were actually really well choreographed. You know, this was a proper sort of high quality production, and you know, you should definitely go and watch it.
Dude, I can tell from your
voice. That's going to be my question. Okay.
I can tell from your voice that you are just so biased towards
look,
this movie.
No, see, look, obviously, I will admit, I will be a little bit biased because it's a Dubai movie. But I went in there with no expectations. You know, I didn't go in there thinking this is going to be the best movie in the world, you know. No, not at all. I mean, in fact, I might have been a little bit more critical. But because it turned out to be as good as it was, yes, I'm probably praising it more than I would have
another
movie like this. I mean, see, Saad, if you talk about
I'm not going to be critical about it, because I actually wanted to watch this movie, but none of the cool dudes that are my friends wanted to actually see it with me.
Understandably.
Well, dude, bro, I'm right here and I saw it.
No, not you, Alfad.
Oh.
I mean, actually, there's just like two or three questions that came to my mind, because I've seen the trailers a lot
sure.
before it was actually given out. I think it came out in Cannes first. No, it didn't, sorry. It came out in Gulf Film Festival first.
Probably, or yes.
Diff, something like that. And Diff Baby, I missed it because, well, it happens during office time. I mean, what the hell do they do that for? But in any case, so... because the guy is like a local dude as well, and he's got
yes,
like
Ali Mustafa, yeah.
Ali Mustafa, and plus there's this. I mean, I want to know like what is the direction quality, and I mean, does it stand because of his direction quality, or does it stand because of its acting, or does it stand because of his story? What do you think makes it?
If you say all the elements combined,
I'm
never going to say anything positive about this. So, you know, you might as well just keep quiet for some time.
Thank you, Saad. I appreciate that. Yeah, Temur, what
and
you said.
And F all of y'all.
See, what I was exceptionally impressed with was the acting of the two main Emirati boys in this this movie. I mean, they were exceptionally good, you know. And... everyone was good, but these two stood out. See, the direction and everything wasn't anything spectacular. Okay, I mean, I was going to say it's no Ridley Scott, but hey, you know, that's not a fair comparison because Robin Hood sucked. But, you know, it was very good. Cinematography also very good. And, you know, the script, it had its flaws. It had its definite flaws. Like, it was a little bit inconclusive near the end as well. But, excuse me, but overall, you know, it was really nice. I mean, sometimes the script was a little bit cheesy, and you were just like, oh no, and who's written this? But you know, as an overall experience, it was very impressive as a first outing from this part of the
World. Of
well, not
Dollywood.
Even the world, but yeah, from
Dollywood, from Dubai,
from
Dollywood,
our country. So yeah, I admit I will be a little bit biased, but I think everyone who I've spoken to who's watched it has been impressed. So there you go.
Nice.
Anyway, moving on to the other movie I saw, which was spoken about last week, which another cool dude. The same cool dude actually hasn't seen as well, because he wasn't interested in it, because, you know...
Exactly.
We
all make mistakes, man.
Yeah, man, you know, with two mistakes in a row, man. That's
like
much, but...
That's just wrong. That's not a mistake. That's wrong.
But anyway, you're not forgiven because Kick-Ass is probably one of the best superhero movies I have seen.
Yes.
Not just recently, but ever, I have to say, because
I must stop you there and ask you, is it really a superhero movie? It's not even a superhero. I mean, what is your definition of a superhero?
Batman?
Oh my God, we're going to get critical on this.
Batman? I mean, if Batman's a superhero
I would consider Batman as a comic hero more than a superhero.
Yeah, okay, right? This is a comic book film. It's not a superhero.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
It's not an established franchise. I mean, the film is based on a graphic novel, which in itself you can say that
it's actually a graphic novel. It's an ongoing series, but you know, get your facts straight, dude. Seriously.
Okay. Before you continue, yeah, even I said that this is one of the best comic book hero films I have also ever seen, and it's.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. I'll just let you continue, and then we'll talk about it.
As I was saying, it's just. You know, it more or less throws the comic book or the superhero genre on its ass. You know, I have to use that word because the movie is called Kick-Ass. So
oh my God, so awesome.
And it has a little bit of everything. You know, it has great characters. It has a very interesting motivation, which, you know, the character starts with, which is like, you know, his mom wasn't killed, you know, by a mugger or a mobster or something. She dropped dead, you know, from an aneurysm while at the kitchen table. So he had no such motivation. His only motivation is, why doesn't anyone actually do this? Put on a costume and go and fight crime. Well, the reason is because you're probably going to get your ass kicked. and that is what happens. But then...
So is that the trailer of the movie?
That's like that's the basic premise, if you would say.
Yeah, understand, obviously.
Yeah, and I mean, then obviously his motivation begins from there, and you know what his motivations are, etc. And there are other sort of heroes in this part of the world as well that, you know, he bumps into, being Nicolas Cage and Chloe Moritz, his 13-year-old daughter, as Hit Girl.
She's been hailed a lot.
Oh my God. I won't get into it that much because Mihir sort of spoke about it in length in our last episode. But she was not the lead character. It wasn't called Hit Girl or anything. It was called Kick-Ass, which is another character. But for me, she stole the show. Every one of her lines, all of her action sequences, everything, this girl was unbelievable. I mean, she was such a joy to watch.
Apparently, she was very she was the bad mouth.
No, she didn't really have that much of a potty mouth, to be very honest with you. Everyone swore, and this is just that people had an issue with it because she's 13 years old. Oh my God, how can she say a swear word?
Isn't she 11?
I don't know. She's 11 or 13, whatever. It's not much of a.
I think she
difference.
Like.
I'm not going to show my girls any.
The actress
movies.
Is, I think, 13 years old.
R-rated.
I was just saying that I think the actress is 13 years old, but the character Hit Girl is 11 years old.
Right. Yeah. But regardless, I mean, this movie has got comedy. This movie has got action. This movie has got drama. Good characters, a lot, and it's quite.
Does it have songs?
It's got some brilliant songs. And music that really, really carry and meld with the film. And it's also very disconcerting and disturbing at a lot of elements. You'll find yourself laughing, but...
Think about it, it's like, it's fucked up.
Yeah, should I be laughing at this?
Does that mean, like, getting hit in the balls and then, you know, laughing at it, but then, like, feeling the pain?
No. What Hit Girl... as a character, as a person, has gone through is pretty disturbing. Like her whole backstory is
fine. So hold on the spoiler.
Yeah, I'm not spoiling. I'm just saying the her backstory is pretty disturbing and pretty dark in the sense, like, yes. it's I would just say that it's really fucked up, and it like the movie pulls on your emotional strings on the right moments. And it's, I mean, it's an overall great film. I mean, like, if you haven't checked it out still, Taimur, you should go and check it out.
Has Taimur already died or something? I mean,
yeah. I mean, we've talked about how
after I was told to check my facts, I just decided to stay quiet.
Yeah. So many times. But look, I'll end with the review with this, that this is one of the very few movies in a very long time that I've actually wanted to jump up from my seat and with my fist in the air screaming, yeah! And that doesn't happen very often. And this movie,
I do that all the time.
Want to do it, okay, let's not get into that. Do that a lot of times. So yeah, I mean, this movie is definitely on my Blu-ray radar. I'll be the first to pick it up and any special editions that may come with it. So yeah, if you haven't seen it, please do yourself a favor. Go and watch this movie.
Then we want to go for it after the podcast?
Tomorrow maybe, not today.
Boring.
Dude, in case you haven't realized that, it's almost 9:30 a.m. in Seattle.
Yeah, dude, get with the times.
Really? Right, thanks. You need to get up for work, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So Taimur, what did you watch? I mean, not Kick-Ass, obviously, but anything?
Nothing in terms of movie. I just watching regular anime. But I did decide to rewatch an old series. I got a hold of the Blu-ray. It's called Planetes. Have any of y'all heard, seen?
Yeah.
Sorry, can you repeat that?
Or something.
Planetes, have you planned?
No, I saw your review, but it looked interesting, but I've never heard of it.
Oh, so Planetes is very simple. I mean, it's set 60, 70 years into the future, and space exploration is just to be, where was this? Yeah, what happens is that, you know, how Virgin is planning to launch the, what's it called? Not intergalactic, what's the thing called? Space travel, whatever. Tourism, space travel. So
you couldn't figure out the word.
Did you just say space shovel?
No, dude. I'm talking about the space.
Listeners, we're really sorry. Taimur can't speak very well today. He doesn't understand many words.
Dude, hold up.
And plus, he doesn't have his facts straight.
They have named Virgin recently named their spaceship, what they're gonna call. I completely forgot. Anyways, whatever. So it's something like that. You know, in the future, the whole series starts off like it's a small spatial. You know, like there's a lot of passengers and stuff, dudes and.
Dude, doesn't sound as fun as Kick-Ass. Seriously, you should have gone to see that instead.
Let me get there.
Sorry, we're being so hard on you, Taimur, today.
Oh no, it's okay. Arfi didn't watch Justice League, so he's happy he watched something good.
No, I watched 4 episodes of Justice League yesterday. You want me to speak on those?
No, hell no. Anyways, I was saying.
Don't mess, man. Don't mess.
I was saying that they show that in the future, I mean, the spaceship is going and it's in the space towards to the moon, and there's this small piece of, not piece, there's a small screw that's, you know, slowly floating towards the spaceship, and it keeps on going. It's in space, so it looks like it's slow, but it's actually moving at like 8 miles per second or something. It hits the glass, spaceship explodes, whatever. So now there's a new treaty that's formed. That, you know, they form a new
I just want to clear this. A screw destroyed a full spaceship.
And it basically cracked.
The spaceship was moving very fast. All right, it just couldn't dodge the screw.
It cracked with the dude. Haven't you heard of small meteorites on the?
Yeah, but that's a meteorite. It's pretty large in size. Only the
no,
like
no,
the
no,
small.
No, he's right. Stuff like that happens, man. Come on.
Yeah, because you've been traveling in space for many years.
In the future.
Dude, what? Seriously,
this is basic physics.
You know, if it doesn't happen now, it's going to happen 20 years.
I understand it's beyond your, you know, understanding. But this is basic physics. Shit happens in space. You know,
I remember that.
I'm glad you understand, Taimur.
Continue.
Glad I understand. Of course I understand, dude. God, man, just because you were a physics student doesn't mean that, you know, you're the guru of physics on the
I am the physics student, and I find that hard to believe. Anyway, continue.
No, you idiot. Okay, dude. In all seriousness, what Demo is saying is actually can happen.
Yeah, but that's true.
Have you not heard of momentum? Listen.
Yes, I have. We will have this conversation outside the podcast. This is more about
outside the podcast. Yeah. Okay,
this is more about studies and boring stuff, which our listeners don't want to listen to.
Okay, whatever. So, division is from a debris collecting division. So all they do is that their job is that they're part of a big ass space station and they have like this small shuttlecrafts that go out on a daily basis and they collect debris from all over around the spaceships. Different spaceships are going on a route, so they just collect the debris before these guys or whatever.
Which one say? Is this an anime or like division series?
Wow. Yes, this is an anime.
It's an anime.
Oh, okay, fine. I'm sorry.
So?
How many people have tuned out by now, do you think?
Nobody has. They love to hear Temur getting his ass kicked. Oh, did I say kick ass?
The other way around. Dude, that was so many. God, you suck. So anyways, this debris collection department, the whole anime is based on like this small division and, you know, it's a very realistic take on future space exploration and what have you. I mean, it sort of actually starts off a little bit boring, which Arfi,
just like you,
is understandable because, you know, you're against such things. But anyways, it gets exciting. The character development's a bit slow, but you know, it ramps up pretty fast. The main characters, all of them, the entire division, like, you know, everybody has like a unique backstory to them. And the initial part of the show is just the interaction between these guys. And then, you know, some of the hazards of collecting debris and how shit can get real in space.
And I know collecting debris can be very, very hazardous.
When you're a mile above the atmosphere and there's a risk of losing your strap and falling down, burning to the earth, yeah.
Okay, is this the whole anime, guys collecting debris? Because I'm not feeling it.
Starts off with this, and then there's some backstory with the future NATO organization. There's some conspiracy going on.
To actually support Taimur's argument, even Moon, which was an amazing film, which we all, I think, loved, started off similar, you know, in a similar way.
Actually, has Temur watched Moon?
Yeah, he has. I remember.
He has. He thinks it's one of the best movies ever.
Dumbass. I mean, you know, you love Moon, and you were like, you know, gushing all over it.
Yeah but rightly so. It's a great movie.
Similar space. Okay, it's an anime. I know you don't like these things.
What? I love animes, man. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, man, dude, we love these things.
Justice League doesn't equal anime.
Dude, oh, man, I'm watching Valkyria Chronicles, Evangelion.
It's Valkyrie, by the way.
Oh, Valkyria.
Evangelion, did you even go past the second episode?
No, I went to the sixth.
How many months ago?
Huh?
How many months ago was that?
Yeah. When did you give it to me?
So, anyways...
Dude, I don't have time for this sort of stuff. I play video games.
Yeah, of course. You have to kick ass, man.
Yeah.
Sad, please stop.
Sorry. Okay, so that's a really great anime. 26 episodes long. Really, really worth it if you're, you know, in a mood for a change of pace, basically. If you're, you know, used to too much ass kicking on a day-to-day basis, then, you know, maybe like this would be good. Let's stop with the puns.
I cringe every time the word ass kick or kick ass comes up now.
Dude, that movie's name was stupid. I don't know what.
It's the character's name. Are you kidding me?
Back when the thing was made, you know.
That was Mark Millar's. You have to watch the movie and then you start loving the character. But
I'm not denying that at all. I'm sure that's the case. But I'm just saying that, you know, naming the. Was the comic book series named after that?
Yes, it's the character's name.
No, I'm saying the comic book series.
Yes, the graphic novel series is called Kick-Ass.
Okay.
I love this. We keep on going back to this movie. It was that good, people. Go and watch it. Stop listening to the podcast. Go and watch the movie.
Arafat was paid to do this. Definitely. Grand Cinema's paid him
he's in PR, so I understand.
It's definitely good at
it. I think it just comes natural to him, doesn't it?
It does indeed.
You don't even have to pay him sometimes. He just does it.
It's a spontaneous thing, you know, like he's sleeping and he's like, yeah, Kick-Ass is awesome. Anywho, so that's what I've been watching. Saad, have you been watching anything interesting? You finished
Let him
tell. Eureka 7.
Yes. Sorry, can you?
Yeah, I did finish Eureka 7, which was awesome.
Before you go ahead, just let me ask you, when did you start this?
When did you start Eureka 7?
I think a year and a half back.
Nice. And this is a 52 episode series.
Come on, he was faithful to the anime. He actually episodes? Watched it
I said,
in like.
I thought only 50.
Okay, yeah, 50, whatever. No. Studio Bones. Only 50. Studio Bones.
Yeah, but actually it's a pretty awesome anime because I was really skeptical about it when it started, when he showed it to me, and I was like, what the hell is this shit? But mechs and everything, and kind of like a fusion between mechs and some new life form and all that stuff.
It got really heavy towards the middle and near the end about with the whole
With the whole Coralion and the Scub Coral and the whole shebang about existence and inexistence and all that crap.
Arfi has absolutely no fucking idea what you're talking about, but dude, it is cool, believe me. Anyways, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, but what I think is, it was good. For most of it, but at the end, I thought it probably lost its charm because just a little much of too much. I mean, probably a lot of overdoing it or a lot of
way too emotional, unnecessarily.
Yeah.
What's the main character's name? Ren? Oh, is it Ren?
Renton.
Okay, and he, in the middle, like he was. Like he was all cranky and stuff, and it was reasons which we could accept or reasons we could give into.
Understand.
But then it just got too emo, and that's what put me off a lot.
But I must say there was a lot of towards the earlier part, there was a lot of genuinely emotional stuff without going into the
It was subtle in the start, and then it just got retardedly in your face kind of emotional, where it was just being emotional for so that it could it was basically trying too hard, and that's what I hated about that series, and that's what really put me off, because I was enjoying it in the starting, the first, I think it was 27 episodes, and then every episode was just getting more and more annoying.
Does this a lot with their original animation series? They even did it with Bonen no Zamdu.
Was good. It was interesting. It was a good anime. It was emotional. Yeah, and it was pretty. It got heavy, but it wasn't as heavy as Eureka 7.
Well, obviously they learned their lesson.
It was kind of in your face at times, but as soon as it was getting, and you got that feeling. Immediately, the next episode, it was a better episode in terms of not being, that in your face, and that's why I like Bonen no Zamdu and I disliked Eureka 7.
But one of the best things about Eureka 7, which was the same case with Full Metal Alchemist, the original series, was that every new opening and ending song was just.
KK.
I'm gonna say kick-ass, but it really deserves that word.
I love
just it. Just as kick-ass as the last one. It just kept on getting better and better, the whole feel of the show, they completely infused it with the opening and the ending sequences. It was just too good.
Except yeah, Bones has that. Bones has, a good ear for music.
That's true.
Finally, the new
but, you know,
for...
I like shows as compared to, Fullmetal Alchemist and Soul Eater, and what's the other one they had? Was it Darker Than Black? I like those type of shows where they go, action-oriented. Because even if they're action-oriented, they are more fun in the sense that they have emotional backstories.
They're more fun, but Bones doesn't lose the basic concept of, proper character development.
Proper character development, good drama. Good drama, good characters with motives behind them. What's going on, why are they doing, why are they basically being so emotional, why are they basically doing these villainous acts?
I just have to add, I had a feeling in the middle that they actually kind of
they themselves lost it.
Yeah, exactly. They lost the whole what to do with the sub-coral, in the end. That's what I thought. Okay, the whole cluster thing that was happening, and I was like, isn't this supposed to be isn't the world supposed to end now? Why are these people still alive?
And why do you want everybody to die, Saad? Always such a.
It's not only about that. It's just that
that's the feeling that they were trying to portray. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you get set to some uber amazing thing shit happening, and then
I think they realized that they were going the Evangelion route, and the director said, "Whoa, hold up there! The whole world dying has been done before."
That's been done before, I guess. But there's another thing that I watched. I don't know whether, Arafat, have you seen it? Have you seen An Education?
What?
Yes, I
know. Movie and Education.
No, I've heard of it. Right. I have not seen it.
I've watched half of it.
I watched that and I was actually pretty impressed with that movie too. But I don't know whether this is a day for these kind of things, but again, towards the end, it was like, what? It was like a big balloon that just.
Yeah, but like I felt it had a good story and like the acting was pretty strong.
Like the acting was probably the ace it had up its sleeve, but.
Yeah. I guess the ending was a bit like, you know.
I finished the movie,
yeah. But I feel like that film got good ratings because of its, like, how it showed its time and how that the relationship between Peter Sarsgaard's character and, I think it was Carey Mulligan? Or what was
exactly,
her name?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Their relationship was extremely well portrayed in that film. And
that's true. That's very true.
It's a great film if you haven't watched it. But I
don't know what's it called again?
An Education.
When did it come out?
Okay, just for one second. This is a little old, but I mean it came down around Oscar time. But have you guys seen The Messenger?
The one with the funeral guy.
Woody Harrelson.
I have it. I haven't watched it, but I've heard it's really really good.
Woody Harrelson's movie, and I don't know who the other dude is.
Yeah, yeah,
I've heard
it's a very, very, like,
I mean,
it's an indie film, right?
It's not a small film. It's about, it's very simple, actually. It's about this dude who just got like a month to serve in the military, all right? But he's just come back from Afghanistan and he's like a war hero. He saved like some, patani kitne log, I don't know how many people he saved over there, in Iraq or something, or Afghanistan. And he comes back and he has some problem with his eye. So they station him, inside US. And over there, there's Woody Harrelson. And Woody Harrelson is the death reporting officer. Basically, he's the death angel. He's the kind of dude who actually goes to a person's house and he goes like, you know, we're really, really sorry, but your child has died, and thank you, bye. You know, not thank you, but yeah, bye. All right, and somebody's going to come up and do some stuff to you. But the thing is, the awesome part about that is that it doesn't get very melodramatic. But it just focuses on these two characters because Woody Harrelson himself has never been to war. And the other dude has been to war. And Woody Harrelson teaches the other dude never to actually show emotions to people when you're actually going to, you know, tell them that their child or their brother or their sister or somebody has died in war. So it's not about the families that actually go there, but it's about their personal wars against emotions and, well, other different... conflicts within themselves. Like this dude, the guy who's the war hero, he doesn't even have a computer at home. He doesn't connect online. Woody Harrelson himself, he's like a big time playboy. He likes to sleep around, you know, party all the time and all that shit. So it's about these two characters, but it's extremely well done. And it's definitely worth a watch. It's a little sad, obviously, but it doesn't overdo it. So that's the best part about it, and definitely the Woody Harrelson, in my opinion, should have actually gotten something for this role. He is just exceptional in this movie.
Yeah, I've heard about that, but I heard also Crazy Heart, Jeff Bridges, he acted really well. So I guess he was up against a really big.
Woody Harrelson is probably the well, okay. Yeah, I mean, he could probably even get supporting actor. I don't know. Let's see. I mean, not let's see. It's over. Screw that.
So, have any of us been playing anything?
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
Oh, yeah, I played Plants vs. Zombies.
Oh, yeah. that's an excellent game. Anyway,
thank you to, good evening last year or something.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, you guys want to go into the gaming section right now? I guess we're already in it.
Dude, that was such a smooth transition I put in there, man. Completely blown to crap. Ugh.
Anyway. The segue crasher. Anywho, so yeah. Sal, apart from
Plants vs. Zombies.
Anything else?
Sad?
I guess not.
Has he dropped? I think we dropped him.
No, he's on. I think he dropped. You know what I'm saying?
Whatever, man.
Yeah. Okay. Put the spliff down. No smoking weed while we're on the podcast. All right then. Sorry, people.
Yeah. Anyways. So seriously, have you been playing anything apart from Plants vs. Zombies?
Nope. Can you guys continue with your gaming section so I can, like, you know, probably punch in some cool liners in the middle?
Sure. Mihi, yeah, what have you been playing?
Okay, this week I haven't been playing anything at all. I played a bit of FIFA 10, but that's about it. Because I was extremely busy with school and like exams coming up, so I've been studying for those. But I haven't been playing anything actually. I haven't even switched on Battlefield or Halo Reach beta. But
sacrilege.
Yes.
Battlefield part is sacrilege. Yeah.
Seriously.
Okay, that was quick. All right then. Right. I guess then.
So, what have you been playing?
Yes, I finished Splinter Cell Conviction.
Oh, nice.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
How was that?
Just tell us about the ending. You can spoil it.
Don't spoil it.
Okay, don't spoil it. Fine.
Jesus.
The ending was nothing.
Dude, we got readers. I mean, we got listeners, man. Come on.
There was nothing exceptional in terms of, you know, story-wise. It was pretty straightforward.
Was it set up for another sequel?
You could say. I mean, the actual ending cutscene I thought was absolutely brilliant. It was something straight out of, like, you know, what you'd find in movies. It leaves you with a smile on your face.
So were satisfied then?
Yes, I was.
The bad guy died.
It depends on you.
Whoa! Yeah. Spoilers!
Yeah, yeah. So, no, dude, okay. If you look at the achievements, it's not much of a spoiler.
Yeah.
Right. But overall.
Wait, does the game have a good and a bad ending then?
No.
So there's just one.
What's it about? Can you at least, like, give us, like, a small synopsis?
Okay. Sam Fisher, as far as he was concerned, his daughter was killed by a drunk driver. Then he found out, and he has reason to believe. That it wasn't a drunk driver that was actually planned for by his old company. Yes. And he then goes on a mission to find out what happened and why she was killed. And in doing so, he, you know, the story unravels and he finds out even deeper seeded conspiracies than he did before. And what I liked about this game quite a bit, actually, was that, you know, you weren't, like, confined to indoor areas. There were a lot of outdoor elements in this game. And there was one exceptional scene, actually, where you have to chase someone through the streets right outside the Lincoln Memorial. Oh. And that was absolutely fantastic. That was a really, awesome. Really cool scene. No.
What's the Lincoln Memorial?
It's the one outside Washington, you know, the White House, and there's the Lincoln.
You know, it's a statue of Lincoln
statue
sitting.
Of Abraham Lincoln sitting.
Haven't you seen Planet of the Apes?
Have you? Screw Planet of the Apes.
I live in one.
Studied history? Exactly.
To Wikipedia is your friend. Oh. Anyways, now let's stop pulling his legs. Right. Let me ask you something. The outside section, did it feel better or similar to Assassin's Creed 2?
Oh, that's a good question.
It wasn't as open-ended in a lot of respects as Assassin's Creed. There were, you know, when the battle...
Just the basic mechanics, like, you know, you're following that dude and, you know, you have to go from point A to point B without him getting...
It felt very different. It felt...
But did it feel better than Assassin's Creed? Because you had a lot of such missions over there. So I'm talking Assassin's Creed 2, not...
Yeah, sure. I don't know. It's an interesting question. It felt like it should have felt. You know what I mean? I mean...
No, we don't know.
Thank you, Sam, for filling in for me.
Guys, just to give you a little note, that Saad gets destroyed at work, and this is him after hard days of work. So yes, bear with him, I guess.
Yes, bear with us, in fact. We're all bearing with him. it felt, you know, weighty enough. But, you know, when it comes to Assassin's Creed, there was a lot more. I mean, you know, the running physics were very sharp and everything. Over here, the running wasn't, you didn't really run much. You know, you crouched and you run into the shadows. So, you know, this was a rare bit where you were running or chasing someone.
Shit, man, I thought you were like a panther reborn or something, and you know, you were supposed to like prowl and then run.
Yes,
and
it's not really working. Continues.
It's not happening. Yeah. But it felt good. It felt tight. The controls throughout the game were very, very good. The controls throughout the game were excellent. I mean, there were very few frustrating moments where you're like, no, that's not what I meant to do. And then you're, you know, honed and you're dead. Overall, I mean, I was very impressed with the game. Unfortunately, it was a bit short, but it's got a lot of other modes and a lot of single player modes as well.
Yeah,
where
the co-op and the...
Yeah, no, co-op is one thing, but single player as well. There are lots of other modes like Hunter mode, where you actually have to finish separate missions and you get rated for them. And these are completely new missions with different, you know, bad guys in different areas with similar maps.
Are they like, in correlation with the storyline, or is it just like standalone missions?
No, it's standalone that you can play. So it's very much like...
Can you play those in co-op?
I think you can play one of them in co-op. Last Stand, perhaps. I'm not sure. But it's very much akin to Batman Arkham Asylum. The gameplay mechanics, you know, you can be stealthy, you can be open-ended, and then even these, you know, separate single-player missions are like Batman's... single-player time trials. So, you know, if
but
you
did
like...
that, I mean, does that kind of stuff actually add value, or would you... Or do you think that, you know, had the developers spend more time on actually carving out a deeper or better single-player experience that would have served everybody better?
See, the sort of player I am, I would have preferred a longer single-player game.
I think that's pretty much the majority of the people, at least.
No, but, I mean, you know, and a lot of people are into these... time trials, you know, leaderboards, that sort of thing. Oh, I got, you know, I finished it without alerting anyone in this time and sort of thing. I mean, I don't even know if they have leaderboards because I didn't go that in depth into it, to be honest with you. But
good thing you don't, you know, preview games.
So what about the storyline? There's like absolutely no storyline. I mean, what's
no, there's a storyline, and it's pretty.
Were you not listening?
These are standalone missions he's talking about right now.
Jesus.
Oh, okay.
Man, get back to getting raped at work, please. Don't disturb us. And yeah,
just because I took your kids doesn't mean that you have to feel sad about it.
What? That I took? You took what?
Nothing.
What did you say?
Sad.
Whoa!
These one-liners just aren't working today, dude. I mean,
you're not firing on all cylinders, dude. What?
Yeah, man.
Oh, shut up! Everybody laughed right now, and I just did that right now to you.
They were making fun of you, not laughing with you.
Okay, wait. Let me ask our listeners: is Saad funny?
Is anybody listening?
Yes, we have two listeners.
Just because you aren't on the main chat doesn't mean that the world is, you know, empty.
Awesome!
Interaction.
Hey guys, I love you guys.
Oh, yeah. Look at this freaking
anyway.
Political
agenda. Good game. The only other thing, you got a haha. Okay, not bad. I think maybe he was ha-haing at the fact that we're actually asking that question. Yeah. Oh, well, anyway. But, dude, if you want to clarify that haha, please do, because Saad's, you know,
Saad's
being put down.
Your complex just kicked into fifth.
Can you guys save this chat session so I can at least see what you guys are actually talking about?
Wish, dude.
You got a supporter. So, I'll just say that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I don't think it's...
So, yeah.
Excellent, very good.
Anyway,
all right. The only other thing I've been playing is...
Wrap it up, it's dragging.
Yeah, no, I have it wrapped. The only other thing I've been playing is what I will let Temur speak about, and then I'll put my two bits into it.
So okay, Temur, what I've been playing, thing? Apart from some iPad stuff, I'll just dip in a little bit, is the...
Is the
or should I go for the iPad first?
Okay. No, go for the game first. iPad will do at the end.
Okay, yeah, iPad is not that long anyways. So yeah, Halo Reach beta, this was the final weekend. They unlocked the new, wait a second, before I go with the new mode, did we talk about the invasion mode?
Yeah, we talked about it last week.
Oh, did we?
Yeah, didn't
we? Invasion mode wasn't on last week.
Yeah, Envision. No,
it came out the day. It came out the day.
It came out the day before the last podcast. So yeah, I think we would have talked about it.
Interesting. I do not remember this.
Yeah, I have it in the show notes for last week. I've just written Halo Reach Beta. I've been like back at it.
Yeah, but anyway, in short, Invasion is the thing to go for, and nothing.
Yeah,
else.
Invasion is definitely the thing to go for. Yes,
I remember. I was hating on Halo Reach last and then, episode.
Okay, anyway, Invasion is good.
Okay, so oh, we're all on, like, you know, on fire today. Everybody knows exactly what's happening. Invasion mode in Halo Reach Beta. This is essentially like rush mode, if you will, for Bad Company 2. You have three phases to the mode. Elites versus Spartans. So you get to play as, one side gets to play as Elites. It's 6 versus 6. The Elites are supposed to attack always and the Spartans will always defend. The first mode is you have 2 points. Elites need to capture those 2 points, 20 second timer. You capture either of those 2 points, you go to phase two. Phase two, there's a 30 second timer on 2 points. You capture them, then the game
you capture
shifts
one
to phase
of the points.
Either one of the points. Then the game shifts to phase three, which is sort of like a capture the flag mode. You have a core reactor inside the
main base.
Spartan warehouse. And then the Elites are supposed to take it out all the way to, not their base, it's just like a raised platform. But it's still a ways off. The best part about this mode is that the gameplay is simple enough to understand. It's, you know, two King of the Hill phases and then a capture the flag mode. Your abilities, the new abilities that you have as the new, you know, the armor log, the jetpack.
Are essential in this mode. Yeah.
Are not only essential in this mode, they limit them to each phase. So in the first phase, you're just allowed the first two, with the new update, you're just allowed one phase. Then in phase two, you're allowed two of the updates. Then in phase three, all vehicles are unlocked, all abilities are unlocked. It's
phase three is when shit hits the fan, I guess.
Literally, yes. Now
vehicles,
Spartans have four abilities. The Elites, they only have two abilities. One is to go invisible, and then the other one is to, they can roll. Like, they can literally dodge dodging.
Dude, you do know that they get the jetpacks and stuff as well, right? You remember? Right?
I'm talking about phase one. And so in both of these phases, Elites are just locked to these two moves. And then in phase three, of course, like these guys said, that, you know, they have the jetpacks, and then they have the, they don't have armor lock, by the way.
They don't. What are the four they have?
It's two dodge mechanics and one invisible and one And each of the special moves is, like, you know, it's accompanied by a really good arsenal. So let's say that, you know, you're going for the, on the Elite side, you have the jetpack. So you have the regular assault rifle. You have the shotgun. So that's up close and personal. Your ability is the armor lock ability. Of course, you can pick up any gun and, you know, mix and match everything. This mode is the mode to play on Halo Reach. You forget Slayer, forget arena rankings and all that bullshit. Because you even get, like, you know, you get score and, you know, your rank, of course, increases as you play the invasion mode. Everybody works as a team. There's like a full collaborative effort. Unlike the other team based games, you know, it's like capture the flag or whatever. Half the time people don't know what the F is going on. Everybody still treats it like a Slayer mode. This is where shit is real. Because half your abilities are locked in the beginning. Everybody's going for the vehicles because, you know, the spawn. You can actually go into enemy bases and steal their vehicles. And weapons as well, as we found out the hard yesterday. So it's a lot of fun. This mode is like this. It's the reason to play Halo Reach. The new mode that I was talking about is called it's called like Network Test 1, but it's a generator defense.
Oh yeah. But before we go into generator defense, I don't know if you mentioned this, but the invasion mode has teams of basically you have basically two teams, but in each team you have sub teams of like each players of two basically. So it's like
your 6 versus 6 is broken down, like each side is broken down into three teams of two, and either one of you guys will have to either spawn on the other guy or
spawn
back
on the base. Yeah. so depending on your like your partner or whoever you are randomly like teamed up with is essential in the sense that if you are good and if he is not that great a player, you will basically have to be forcing him forward. You can't depend on him. You have to depend on your partner like that is the main thing that they were going for, and I think they kind of achieved it. So that's really I guess a really a good feature or awesome. An interesting twist I guess to the whole Halo.
Something close to
Team Doubles.
Not Team Doubles. This is something close to. I mean, they have the spirit of Team Doubles in there because you know at the end of the day your team your each side is the
But in a very like I guess innovative way I would say because it's a really
also
interesting
company to inspire to some extent because you can only spawn I mean you know you can spawn on your
on a squad on of four team. Yeah.
So I mean
but you were talking about okay I mean I don't know whether you're going to get technical right now. Are you talking about it not feeling like a Halo game?
No. It is the gameplay and everything is exactly like Halo, except that they've borrowed elements from other places. You know, like how FPS games nowadays they involve RPG mechanics. You level up stuff and you know you unlock guns. So same way the gameplay, it's still a sandbox environment. You know,
but I guess that's fine because like Call of Duty Modern Warfare borrowed the Halo matchmaking system, and
that's what I'm saying. That everybody it borrows good elements from other shooters.
Yeah. But like, what the extra spice or whatever they of like whatever stuff they put of their own in it makes that basically different. Like, I mean, that's what makes them stand out from other FPSs.
Yeah, I mean, you're not there unlocking, you know, higher tier weapons and whatnot. Mm-hmm. All the weapons are available from the beginning. What you're unlocking is stupid armor looks.
Cool.
That adds shoulder pads. Throw value. But yeah, I mean, it's sort of like prestige modes, right? I mean, think about it. The higher you level up, the more, you know, better or, you know, expensive armor you put on so people can look at you if they pay attention. And then they can see that, you know, okay, this guy is, you know, obviously, I mean, he's been playing for
eight.
Is your rank, does it? And then also your armor looks a bit different. So I guess there's that element. So nicely balanced. the latest mode that just popped up, day before on Friday was the generated defense mode. 3v3 a match. Again, Elise versus Spartans. There are not three phases. They're basically, it's all in one map. It's a new map, by the way. The three points that you have to defend. The three generators, essentially. They have a shield. Elites come in, they destroy the shield, then they destroy the generator. It's off. The objective is to destroy all three shields, obviously. Otherwise, I think there's a time limit of something. I'm not really sure. So, it's... It's not as hectic as Invasion mode, and it's not definitely as, you know, as slow-paced as some of the other objective-based games in regular Halo matches. It certainly has a small... It feels more catered towards, you know, those tight clan matches where you have, like, a, you know, small 3v3 or 4v4 in regular, you know, ranked team slayer, how we used to play. It sort of has the same feeling, except that the objective is really straightforward. You don't have bullshit like capture the flag or, you know, king of the hill or anything like that. Straight up, these are the points you have to defend. One of the points is like deep inside a warehouse complex. The other two are, you know, far away. They're spread out, but they're out in the open. And, again, you know, it's a typical stuff. I mean, there's nothing that great about it that stands out from Invasion. Let's say still, if you want to play a good match, go for Invasion 6-on-6. That's the best deal you're going to get out of Halo right now.
Dude. You know, after listening to this, I really want to play Battlefield Bad Company 2 again.
Anyways,
I'm missing it.
We'll get back to it this weekend, unless Bungie decides to, you know, give us
extend.
A surprise and say, "Hey, we can extend."
Can we get back to it anyway, regardless? We haven't played it for ages.
That's so
freaking amazing.
I guess the silence is no.
Game.
Until the Reach beta ends, we won't be.
Until my exams.
I know Mihir is saying yes, but his exams are there, so it doesn't really make a difference to him. So, you know.
Dude, it's only a week. Come on. Alright, so yeah, that's Halo Reach. Beta is going to end soon. Guys, play this. Enjoy until September, October, whenever the game's out.
Out of all the things, I'd say, I mean, what's your final verdict on it, guys?
But on the Reach beta?
Yeah.
Apart from the invasion mode and maybe probably the generated defense mode, I like the new improvements, but it wasn't, you know, as enigmatic as the first, or well, not the first Halo, Halo 3.
Halo.
I don't play the first or the second Halo.
I agree. Halo 3 is still, I mean, I remember the Halo 3 beta when we were playing it, we were just going insane.
Yeah, so I guess that was the long beta. Something to relate to I mean, the only other experience was with Gears of War. Now we have, you know, Modern Warfare's and Bad Companies and, you know, Team Fortress.
Really? Modern Warfare? Really?
I mean, whatever.
Still, you know, there's an option. That's what I'm saying. That, you know, we've experienced all of this stuff now in terms of pure FPS gaming. And at that time, that was our first game where we played online. First FPS that we played online competitively. It was fun. Cool. So yeah, Invasion Mode brings it back to the table. Halo Reach is going to destroy everything. I hope it destroys Modern Warfare 2.
What?
Yeah, I hope people start playing Halo Reach instead of Modern Warfare.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's true.
I would like agree with that. But I still find this, the new Halo thing, I guess a disappointment. Because it wasn't as you said, it wasn't the wow factor wasn't there. And that's what Halo was all to me about, like just completely exceeding expectations. And,
but don't forget that the single player is also equally.
Yes, of course. But I'm just saying, as a multiplayer point, from the multiplayer point of view, when we first saw Halo 3, the beta, that is not even the game, the beta, we were just like completely blown away at that time.
And but see, here's the best part, right? Because Halo 3, many people would say that, you know, or who've been playing Halo, they would say that Halo 3 was a disappointment because it's not that much of an improvement over Halo 2. And the same people are going nuts over Halo Reach. People like us who started on Halo 3 are sort of disappointed.
So it's just fanboys that they're hoping to make their money from then?
Not necessarily. I mean, the game will sell, be honest.
The game will sell, yes.
You know, different people with different experiences have different perspective on the Reach, Peter. That's what it all goes with.
But guys, you know that it's raining in Abu Dhabi, then zero visibility on the road?
It was raining.
Did you know that it was...
Raining in Dubai?
It was pouring sand on the roads today.
Okay, do you know that this podcast is not about the weather?
Excellent stuff. Let's just go on to the final point that I played. I finally jailbroke my iPad.
Congratulations.
Yeah, that happened. Awesome stuff.
On destroying your iPad.
No, see, here's the best part, right? Because I can perform a normal restore, like, you know, you plug it in.
Yeah, that's true, but like it'll never be the same. Trust me.
I'm waiting for a couple of weeks, and he's gonna be crying.
I had the same I guess viewpoint when I jailbroke my iPhone.
Was it locked or unlocked?
It was a locked phone,
that's the thing. With a locked phone, you always have to be careful whether, you know, stuff gets cracking or not. With an unlocked phone, you know.
I mean, it was. I had to unlock it, of course.
This is not a phone.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's still virtually like, you know, you can press that home button, wipe it all off, and then it'll restore everything from the original thing, and it'll be like it never existed.
Are you planning to get the 3G micro SIM?
No, I have.
He already bought the iPad. He can't get the other edition unless he pays another.
Yeah, I have the Wi-Fi model, so that doesn't require. It doesn't take the 3G. It's not
3G. Okay, all right.
So, yeah. But I know a couple of friends. They are planning to get the 3G model and, you know, use a Etisalat micro SIM.
Use the same, yeah.
But yeah, I tried some applications.
That interesting, huh?
I tried some applications which I would otherwise
not have
paid for anyways. See, here's the thing about the jailbreaking stuff. I'm just trying these applications and games. I'm not actually playing them on a regular basis that, you know, sort of justify. It's sort of like me demoing these things. Like, you know, what's that game called? I showed you guys that shooter, you know, that 2D bullet hell shooter.
Espeluta.
Now, they had a light version for that, right? I downloaded that. I enjoyed that. I'm waiting for the iPad version. I'm going to buy that. There are certain games that I'm interested in, but I want to actually experience them. There's sadly not a light version for them. Jailbreak is a very bad answer to such a desire.
But I guess you have to take to experience them anyway.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's sort of not fair. I wish they had a policy like Xbox Live Arcade, where every game, or if not the application, I'm just talking about the games, that it had a mandatory light version. You know, people could try it out, and if they're happy with it, just go ahead with it. So yeah, jailbreaking iPad experience. Try it out. Don't use it for piracy. I hope you guys don't. I don't.
Okay, continue with the games. What games have you played, Jesus?
I tried Command & Conquer, Red Alert.
How was that?
Graphically, it's not that much of an upgrade over the iPhone version, but it was sort of sad. But the gameplay, I mean, if it was more... if it was more easy to use the touchscreen. I think they, you know, it's not like Plants vs. Zombies where, you know, you touch things and immediately everything picks up. There's not a lag, but there's sort of, sometimes it doesn't pick up some of the moves that you're putting in. I don't know whether
it's not as responsive, I guess.
Yeah, probably some of the port for the multitouch wasn't good enough. I'm not really sure. Not worth it. Glad. The other game I tried was Warpgate HD. This is some proper hardcore space sim. But the best part is that you can move around the, you can like zoom, you know how you zoom in and out with pictures and stuff?
Yeah.
On the phone. You can zoom in and out like that, looking at your galaxy, double tap. And then you can use both your fingers, like, you know, up and down to, in opposite directions to actually move the map. Your ship is still in the same, you know how you watch in films, like, you know, people are just pointing their fingers and the map scrolls all over the place. Futuristic films, you know that.
It sort of
gives that experience, but in a very, you know, cumbersome way. But it's still, you know, something for the future, I guess. Still a first-gen iPad game. Not worth it again, unless you're deep into, you know.
Did you try downloading Scrabble or something on it, or did you try playing with it?
No, board games, honestly, they're, I mean, you know what the experience is going to be like on iPad. It's going to be responsive. It's going to look good, but ultimately, do you actually want to play board games on iPad?
Yeah, maybe.
Yes,
yeah.
You have. Yeah. It makes sense, but I'm talking about single player experiences. What else did I tried? Oh yeah, that thing. There's an app called Weather HD for 99 cents.
You got
totally
that.
Worth it, man. Totally worth it. It looks
okay,
beautiful.
We've gone back to talking about the weather. What did I just say?
I'm just saying the application. It shows, like, yeah, you know, during the nighttime, it shows the moon and there's like stars twinkling in the background and, you know, slight like clouds all over the place.
Yeah, it's like an anime.
Sunset, it'll actually so.
What?
Tamur, you need to maybe like find a hobby.
Go out of your house. You see all that shit there, man.
I've got an application on the app, and guys, relax. Don't drop your balls off. Things.
Have you started using? Has anyone of you guys started using it as like a standby photo frame?
Yes, I
was trying to do that, but no, not.
Or does it actually give you the option to, you know, like
yeah,
just
yeah,
place
yeah,
right?
I'll say this: the I basically what I do, basically that my how I enjoy the iPad right now is I go on to Google Images, go on to large images, and I basically take like movies, like movie images or game images, anime images, etc. And I just save them, mm-hmm. and after I do like say about 5 minutes of just like scrounging for pictures, I go on to the slideshow, there's a section called origami in the slideshow. It's like this kind of slideshow which basically shows you a collage of images, but in a very different and like it looks cool. That basically it looks really cool, and I just show it to, and basically that's how I showcase my iPad, and everybody's just like blown the fuck away. It's insane. Taimur, if you haven't,
everybody you're talking about,
like family, friends, whoever basically come to the house and want to see the iPad, I just show them through that. That's the first thing I show them: the photos, the quality of the photos, and the slideshow.
2,500 dirham photo frame, nice.
Yay!
No, but I mean that's one of the other applications.
Yeah,
like saying,
oh, all said and done. How long have you guys had the iPads now? Like 3 weeks now?
Two, three weeks.
Couple of 3 weeks.
Yeah. So okay. So is it a tablet replacement? Is it okay? Just listen to me first, right? Is it a tablet replacement? Is it something you would want to spend money on, or does it have potential? I mean, what exactly is it?
Here's the thing.
We've already had this discussion.
Here's the simple thing.
You don't listen to our podcast, do you? We've kind of talked about
I'm gonna lay it down very simple. If you're planning to use a tablet PC to, you know, like edit office documents and, you know, do some office work, scripting stuff and all that crap, there's ways to do that because, you know, it has iWorks, isn't it, Mir?
I have no idea,
like,
but
yeah,
I think they will definitely come out without
it is out. I mean, I know they were showing it
I don't know about that, but if it isn't out, it will come out.
Edit documents, Excel sheets and whatnot. But are you really going to use a tablet for that kind of stuff? No, you're going to use a tablet for browsing the internet, watching movies here and there, browsing a few pictures, showing it to friends,
watching YouTube, etc., you know?
Yeah, that and sharing it with others. You're not just going to personally, unless you're doing it on the bed, you know, where you don't want to sit on in front of your laptop or, you know, your desktop PC, because that's what you will actually use for your work. You'll never use a netbook or a tablet PC to properly
yes,
work.
That's the point I wanted to get to. This, I personally feel this is a pretty decent netbook in a sense, like a netbook replacement. It is an excellent replacement for the netbook.
What are you doing, Saad, on the netbook? You're checking out your emails, chatting, Gmail chat, whatnot. You know, listen to music
while
that too. It serves those purposes adequately. It's mad fast. It'll just like start.
It serves those purposes adequately, and it makes you feel cool. That's what they were going for. It is an Apple product at the base, and every Apple product makes you feel like that. It's different. Yeah. It's shiny. It's glossy, and it's like a status symbol. But it's a damn good one.
That's exactly the thing. Like any other Apple product, it works fast and exactly the way it's supposed to.
Tell me this. So after like a year or maybe 2 years, will you still be using it?
Yeah, dude, just like iPhone.
You use your iPhone.
Yes.
Because your iPhone is actually a phone. If you don't
I'm talking about extra stuff on the iPhone. You know, like tweeting every once in a while, checking out emails. If I don't want to, you know, sit in front of my PC, that kind of stuff. You still do that on a day to day basis. Same thing over here. You're always gonna find a time.
Exactly the same. That's what I'm saying. Exactly the same thing over here. If you already have an iPhone,
because the screen is freaking huge. Yeah. Seriously, even bother. I'll tell you one thing, and I've shown this to everybody. I've shown the iPad to. I've asked them, "Will you play games on your iPhone again?" They said no. Will you browse the internet? No. Because the experience is so much better on the big screen. It makes sense. I mean, on the iPhone, you did it because there was no other option available. And like,
I'm telling you this, Taimur and I were the same, asking the same questions you are asking right now, saying why would anybody buy such a product? But now that we have it, it's a whole different like experience
I'll tell you one thing. This is still a luxury item.
Yes, it is. It is.
Buy it if you have extra cash to spare and the price is right. Do not pay the stupid prices that it's going on for.
It is always going to be a luxury item. That's a given because it's even like in the keynote,
all Apple
right?
Things are like
it's an Apple product.
Yeah, because I mean, come on, guys. Like you would not buy this to replace your PC. That it was never going to be that.
No, or a netbook even.
I personally think it's a good netbook replacement. That's my theory, because I've seen people with a lot of netbooks, and basically what they do is on the netbook is what I do on my iPad, and the problem is that the netbooks are what, about 1,500 dirhams, I'm guessing, or maybe cheaper.
No, netbooks started like 1,600-1,800 dirhams. That's what I'm saying. For 300-400 dirhams more, you're getting something much cooler looking
and much faster. I'm guessing
much faster, and the App Store.
That's what basically is selling this product, the app store, the apps that are going to come out for this. I just cannot wait for the apps.
One more thing.
That is.
I don't think I talked about this last week, but I just want to quickly briefly mention the iBook store. The iBook store, it's like the Kindle store.
Yeah.
One of the best things about the iBook store is that all of the books that you have available, you can download a sample of them. It'll download the first two chapters of the book. So you can literally read the first two chapters like your any regular book. At the end of the second chapter, it'll say, you know, buy the book for, you know, X amount of dollars or whatever it is. It'll be on your shelf, and then, you know, all the books will be arranged on your shelf like, you know, it's supposed to. So it serves this purpose in terms of, you know, so I was showing this to my mom. I was saying that, you know, okay, name me a book. She told me some random authors she likes. Downloaded sample. I showed it to her. It was all smooth, and she was really wowed by it. One of the best things about the iBooks is that, you know, you can like touch any word and you can bookmark it or copy it. You can also use the dictionary function on it and there.
That's exactly what the Kindle does, and I have got the Kindle application for this for the iPad, and it's a more fulfilling experience when you're reading the book. It's a really like I haven't touched the Kindle since I've got the iPad.
This and the App Store alone is awesome. And I thought that the books, I heard back then that, you know, all the books are going to be $15 something. No.
Is it like $9?
The Halo books that I'm reading, the Halo books that I'm reading right now, they're the same price on the App Store as well, like $7.99.
I don't think you should shout about reading Halo books, huh? You're talking about getting a
this
hobby.
This is an anime and games podcast. I don't
think
but
Halo books,
better.
Really?
Halo books, dude.
Yeah, definitely. Really? Have you read the Amazon reviews?
No,
okay.
God, guys.
For Halo or for the iPad?
No, Okay, I think let's wrap it up.
No, didn't you have a couple of games to talk about?
Yeah, I just the two more games I played on the jailbroken iPad is Flight Control. Plays just like the iPhone version, except good. Much better to control and much fulfilling experience. And Plants vs. Zombies. Holy shit. Buy this game. Do not play it on the iPhone. It sucks.
What?
It's
I mean, no, is it the same game or is it? It's supposed to be the same
game, but it is so much better on the big screen. I cannot imagine playing. I can't see myself playing that game on the iPhone again.
Okay, listen to this. Plants vs. Zombies got basically really famous after it came out on the iPhone.
Just between me, between you, Arfad, me, and you, I think a few days later, if the iPhone actually has the capability to telephone, so these guys probably roam around with it. You know, and use the mobile phone.
That's like saying
and strap
you
it to
want
the
to buy an
iPhone.
Dude, come on. Jeez. Did you actually see anybody buy an N-Gage phone? It was good for gaming, but did you actually see anybody call, make, talk on the N-Gage?
I actually did too, and it was really, it is really uncomfortable because I won't get into the N-Gage, so.
This is 10 times as worse.
Yeah, you but I'm just saying.
It all over the place.
Anyway, before I got up to the point, Plants vs. Zombies is such a great game, I've been playing it on my computer. That is how good Plants vs. It's really simple, but it is such a great
It is the best tower defense game.
Yes,
ever.
It is the best tower defense game I've played in a long time ever.
You
want
to get into that genre,
say, yeah.
Buy that game. Done. You don't need to get any.
It is an excellent game. It is seriously a lot of fun. And like don't let the artwork like put you off. Yeah. Just play the game. Like, just keep continuing on for, like, 4 or 5 levels and you will just be, like, completely engrossed in it. It's a really cool game. And definitely, like, check it out.
You know what? I showed it to Mansoor. He's seen the iPad and, you know, he was sort of like, yeah, I like it. You know, it has its benefits. He liked the iBook store in particular. He played Plants vs. Zombie. I just started the game for him. He played it for, like, almost an hour nonstop. And then he was like, yeah, I'm going to buy it now. I'm going to get the 3G version. That game sold him on. So I guess let's wrap it up. It's almost an hour and a half now.
Correct. Yeah, let's wrap it up.
Yep. Is Arafat? Where's Arafat? Is he sleeping?
He's still his balls.
Oh yeah, excuse me. I died falling asleep there first. Yeah. Sorry, what were you saying there?
Let's wrap it up.
Yeah. Halo books. What is it? That's probably what put me to sleep. Sorry, dude. Anyway, good podcast.
Good podcast indeed.
Yep.
Let's wrap it up then. Thank you all for joining us. Thank you, Mir. Thank you, Arfad. Thank you, Saad, for taking time.
You're welcome, guys. I love you.
Okay.
Love you too, but in a non-homo way. So yeah, that's it. Thank you all for listening to us to the 24th episode of the podcast.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you can find us on Twitter.
You can find us on Twitter. Oh god, I forgot about that part. Twitter.com/MihirJ, MIHIRJ, Twitter.com/Temur, TimWorH, Twitter.com/Arfiman. That's simple, I don't need to spell it out.
And Twitter.com/ Lude Auditor, LUD, Saj, just go for it.
That is so stupid a name, it's not even funny. Lude Auditor, that's LUDA, UDITOR.
Can I say myself now, please?
Go ahead.
L to the U to the D to
Jesus
A
Christ.
To the U D I T O.
I think I'll edit that part out.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I think even Prashant won't come for the next one. He's our most loyal listener.
Anywho, so
thanks,
yeah.
Prashant. I know you love me. I know you're the one who said haha. Thank you, Prashant.
Dude, you're the one who was hating on you. Fool. So find us on iTunes. It's dculture, one word, or go to d-culture.com and you can find the website regularly updated now. Every day there's some random crap over there that you might find interesting.
So, and, yeah, crap, and by crap we mean good, so check it out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, figure of speech, relax. Thank you all for joining us. See you all next week. Bye bye.
Hi.
Are we going now?
Bye guys.